Evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lynn Spicer, Chairman of the Dorchester County Board of Zoning Appeals. Before we get started, I want to review our procedure for conducting each hearing. Staff will read all reports and official documents pertaining to the case. The applicant or his agent will make his presentation. Any person wishing to ask questions or cross-examine the applicant or his witness may do so. Any person wishing to testify in this case, either in favor or against the application, may testify. Prior to testifying, please sign the sheet on the podium and speak your name and address clearly for the record. Do not speak from the audience. You must be recognized by the chair before speaking and come to the podium to speak on record. The applicant may then ask questions or cross-examine persons who testify in the case. There may be questions from the board at any time. Then I will announce the closing of evidence. There will be a brief period of deliberation. I will call for motions. The board will make its decision. Any persons who testify tonight will be notified by mail of this board's decision. Any person or party aggrieved by our decision may appeal it to the circuit court within 30 days. Finally, this board will be making its decision based solely on the testimony presented tonight. At the podium and on the table, you will see a checklist containing the criteria for a special exception and variance. This is what the applicant in each case must prove in order for us to grant his or her request. Your testimony should be centered around this criteria. As a courtesy to the board members and the audience, please turn off your cell phones. Maybe I better start that. Okay, is Mr. Beverly here yet?
I just pulled up. I just saw him.
Okay, we'll wait just a couple minutes for him to come in because his won't take too long. We'll get him out of the way first.
Record while we're doing that.
Yeah,
and then you can provide any testimony.
Sure.
This is case number 2794 Beverly. It's the location is 2702 Toddville Road, Toddville, Maryland. Zoning classification is V for Village and is in the LDA Limited Development Area, critical area, and it is in the floodplain. And the applicant is requesting a special exception to operate a general store on the property. The code, the table of uses, allows this use by special exception. So it just has to be approved by Board of Appeal.
Okay. Mr. Beverly?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Okay. Would you come forward, please?
Sure.
At the podium. State your name, your address, and for the record, you have two options. You may rely on your written responses to the criteria, which each board member has and which are already in evidence, or you can of course comment on those responses or anything else concerning your case.
Okay. First name is David, last name is Beverly. Address is 6912 Hubbard Road, Spurlock, Maryland 21643. And I'm just going to go based on what they...
Let me swear you in. I kind of got cart in front of the horse.
That's fine.
Raise your right hand, please.
All right.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Okay, you've already stated your name and address, so that's good.
So, based on the village zoning, I'm just going to go based on what the county code already says on that. Historically, the building was a store until approximately 2005, based on what local residents tell me before Hurricane Isabel. And all I'm trying to do is turn it into a general store. There's not going to be any change in the structure. I've already met with the fire marshal's office, health department. Everything's been pretty much done. The only thing that's left is what we're doing right now.
Okay. Does he have a pointer up there?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you point out just where I think I know where you're talking about, but.
Yeah, 2702 right there, that parcel is 0160.
Okay.
It's a 900 square foot black structure. It was a wood structure there prior to 1975. It burnt down. It was a store before. And then they rebuilt it in 75 or 1975 to make it a store again. And basically all I'm doing is revamping the building and fixing the parking lot. And it's just going to be a 900 square foot general store down there.
Okay.
The only thing that wasn't mentioned on the paperwork is I spoke with the state, and the state is going to allow, if I go pursue it, to put gas pumps back.
Is going to do what?
Allow me to put gas pumps back.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If I pursue that route, that's the only thing that wasn't mentioned anywhere in the paperwork.
Patrick, should that be included?
I'll note the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, I really don't have anything much else to say on it.
Okay. Any questions from the board on this?
Can you just point to the property one more time?
So
I just want to make sure I understand it.
Yes, I own all four lots, but the lot with the store right there, the building right there, 2702, is the only one I'm asking for the change.
Okay. All right, so there's no problem with parking?
No, if you can see right there.
That's what I needed, right.
Historically, that's where the parking lot was.
I got you.
That's going to just be revamped.
Mm-hmm.
I think, isn't there an old store on each corner or on two corners?
Yeah, historically there was, back in the day, that was all stores.
I thought so.
Unfortunately, the rest of them are salvageable. That's the only building that is made out of concrete that mm-hmm. is doesn't really have any damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Susan, we don't have to worry about signage or lights or traffic lights. I don't see any. I'm not sure what's there. Is it four-way stop? Is it lights?
It's just four stop signs.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's not four stop signs. Farm Creek Road has a stop sign both directions. Toddville
okay.
Road doesn't have a stop sign. But it's very minimal traffic. There's
that's
only
what I was going to ask.
Residents that live there.
Okay, so opening up a store isn't going to do anything major to the traffic. Okay.
No, he can have a sign, and I think that he's even looked into getting some state funding as mm-hmm. far as it being declared a food desert. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I've already started that process. I have a letter of support from the county council, and I'll know August 1st if the grant's approved.
Okay.
Any other questions? Was there any comments from any agency or anything on this?
No, there isn't any needed, and like I said, it's approved by code as long as it's done by special exception.
Okay. Anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against this proposal? Come on up, Councilman. Come on up. You ought to be an old hand at this. I'm sitting in your seat.
Hello, everybody. Mike Detmer, 4829 Centennial Road. I'm the District 5 councilman. I'm just here speaking as an individual councilman and concerned citizen. On behalf of my constituent, my friend, David, this is not in my district, but trying to look at the county as a whole, I think this is a really important part of making this community and the southern part of our county more sustainable. It really is a food and services, if not desert, almost complete desert. And it certainly would be a big amenity. I think it would have a property value bump for making it more better place to live, easier to live, honestly. And
mm-hmm.
I've viewed the site since, down there on some other business, and there's plenty of room. It was a store. I just speak emphatically of it just as a citizen, individual councilman. Thank you.
Do I need to swear him in or not?
Patrick?
Yes, I do. Please raise your right. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, and the evidence I've given.
Thank you.
Thanks. Sorry about that. So jazzed. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Okay. Okay. The board have any more questions? Okay, well that concludes the taking of evidence. Are you ready to vote?
I do want to add one thing in response to Susan's question about the fuel sales. It is permitted, but it would require a special exception if you elect to go that route.
cross that bridge when we get to it.
So I was thinking that if you grant the special exception, I'll note that.
Do I hear a motion regarding this case?
I'll make a motion for approval.
Second.
No, we to go.
Oh.
Jump the gun.
What did I do?
We're out of practice.
No, we have to go through the criteria first.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. You're right. I haven't done this for a while. Okay. Go ahead.
So first, the proposed use or structure will be consistent with the county's comprehensive plan?
Will be.
Will?
Yes.
Proposed use will be in harmony with the general character of the neighborhood, considering population density, design, scale and bulk of any proposed new structures, intensity and character of activity, traffic and parking conditions, and number of similar uses.
Will?
Yes.
The proposed use will not be detrimental to the use, peaceful enjoyment, economic value, or development of surrounding properties or the surrounding neighborhood.
Will not.
The proposed use will not cause objectionable noise, vibration, fumes, odors, dust, glare, or physical activity.
Will not.
Will not.
The proposed use will not have a detrimental effect on vehicular or pedestrian traffic.
Will not.
Proposed use will not adversely affect the health, safety, security, or general welfare of residents, workers, or visitors in the area.
Will not.
Will not.
The proposed use will not overburden existing public services and facilities, including schools, police and fire protection, medical facilities, water, sanitary sewer, public roads, storm sewers, drains, and public improvements.
Will not.
Will not.
And the proposed use meets the definition and specific standards set forth in the zoning code for such use.
It does.
Okay. Now entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion for approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Okay.
This is.
You want to go ahead and read that, Susan?
Case number 2795, Heath Crawl LLC. This is tax map 21, parcels 12 and 104, Secretary East New Market Road. Zoning classification is AC-RCA and SR-RCA. Is in the RCA critical area classification and no floodplain. The applicant is requesting the following: a special exception for utility scale solar project in the AC-RCA zoning district, a special exception for the extension of district regulations in the AC-RCA zoning district not to exceed 100 feet, and a variance to permit the construction of up to 7-foot tall security fencing, a variance to the prescribed 20-foot side setback to allow for project equipment to be placed no closer than 15 feet from the shared boundary line between parcel 104 and parcel 12. Each of the four requests received a favorable recommendation from the Planning Commission on June 5th, 2024.
Question: should we start with the 20-foot setback or not, or should we just go ahead with the solar project itself?
I think Mr. Mullaney presents his case. You'll hear testimony from anybody else who wishes to speak, and then when you go into deliberations, we'll go through each of the.
Okay.
We'll do each one turn.
Okay. Let's see. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name, address, and relationship to the case being heard.
Sure. Good evening. Brendan Mullaney with McAllister, Detar, Showalter, and Walker, 300 Academy Street, Cambridge, Maryland. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, which is Tucked Away Solar One LLC, potential lessee and developer of a community solar project on the subject property. As a preliminary matter, I don't know if you had this letter in your package, but I wanted to just make sure that it was part of the record for you. This is a letter from DNR confirming that there are no threatened or endangered species or impact the same on the subject property. If you don't mind, we have a representative from the developer here tonight, John Marco Sanchez, who's going to just come up and introduce Saltage, who is the parent company for the developer entity. He's going to tell you a little bit about Saltage, who they are and what they do.
Okay. I'll swear you in too, if I can. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name, address, and relationship to the case being heard.
Sure. My name is John Sanchez. My address is 215 Monroe Street, Apartment 2, Hoboken, New Jersey. I'm on here on behalf of the applicant, Tucked Away Solar One, and the parent entity, Saltage LLC. I am one of the developers on the project, and that is my relation to the application. My name is John Sanchez. Like I said, I'm representing the applicant, Tucked Away Solar One LLC, and our parent entity, Saltage LLC. Saltage is an independent power producer and is a leader in developing and operating distributed scale solar and energy storage projects in the United States. Currently, Saltage was founded in 2006 and has an 18-year track record. We've developed over 125 clean energy projects in the U.S. to date, and that's across 18 states and counting. Currently in Maryland, we have an active development footprint in a handful of counties, including Wicomico County, Caroline County, Somerset County, Frederick County, Prince George's County, and a few others. Our focus in Maryland has almost been exclusively on community solar project development and operation. As you guys might know, community solar projects do directly benefit the local citizens and community. This particular project will participate in Maryland's community solar pilot program, which will allow us to deliver guaranteed savings to Dorchester County residents and Delmarva Power customers generally. So any Delmarva Power customer is eligible to subscribe to this solar energy facility, and they do get a guaranteed discount to their current electric service without changing anything about their service. So they'll still have their Delmarva Power service, but it'll just be at a discount to what Delmarva Power does provide to them. And we do have a few numbers here. So we did estimate that, as proposed, this project would generate enough electricity to power roughly 290 homes. And with the discounts that we anticipate we would provide, we do anticipate the first year alone of savings to those subscribers would be around $45,000. And then over the life of the project, which is around 40 years, we anticipate that to be over $2.5 million in savings to the subscribers of that project. And that, again, is requiring no change to their current service. All they do is subscribe to the facility. And then that discount is locked in. It's guaranteed for as long as they have that contract. Saltage is a little bit different from other developers in that they do own and operate the projects for the project's life. So we do have, you know, a more direct focus in making sure that we do partner with the local municipalities and counties to ensure that our projects are sited in a responsible way. And make sure that we're, you know, well-sited and don't have any significant impacts of surrounding properties. So we do believe that if these projects, solar projects in general, are designed well, screened well, and located in a responsible way, they can be a great benefit to the local community and the residents of Dorchester County. I guess overall, we do believe that this project is in line with the state's goals for renewable energy and sustainability. And it will also provide economic and environmental benefits to the community. We're happy to address any questions you may have, and thank you for the opportunity.
While you're up there, could you point out just exactly where this is going?
Sure. Thank you. So the ACRCA zone is what we're limited to, which is just this green section here. So we're all the way back here, and then this is all, you know, fields here to the road. So we stop at the green, basically, and we're not impacting cutting down any trees, so we're just staying in the open field there.
Okay. And I take it that I think there's residences on the left-hand side of your screen. Is that right?
Yeah, so there is one residence here that looks like it is. There is a business associated with it that I believe is like a yacht service or something of the sort. And then here is actually our landowner's home here.
Okay. Thank you.
Is it, well, is that what was in the packet?
It is.
Yeah.
Smokeable version.
Anything else for Mr. Sanchez?
Any other questions from the board for Sanchez? Take it that, looks like, if I'm reading this right, Kyle's home is the only one that really adjoins this, adjoins this project?
Correct. That's right. And that's to the southeast. That is a residence. It's a residence and family of the applicant.
Okay.
Okay. So, again, Brendan Mullaney, thanks for your time tonight. Thank you for getting together. The subject property is 72.58 acres. It's made up of two parcels. Parcel 12 is 38.5 acres, and parcel 104 is 34.08 acres. All of the project components are located on parcel 104. And the reason that we included parcel 12 is because we're requesting the variance setback from the internal property boundary to allow the project equipment no closer than 15 feet from that boundary. And I'll get into why I specifically articulate that as no closer than 15 feet instead of into the setback by 5 feet, which is, I think is...
Both properties are owned by the same person, right?
Yes, sir. Yep, same out. Same owner. But all the project components, all of the roadways or drive aisles, the landscaping, the fencing, and the solar equipment itself is located on parcel 104, which is the eastern parcel of the two. The owner is Heath Crawl, and parcel 104, which is the parcel that the project is proposed for, is zoned Resource Conservation Area, AC-RCA, and suburban residential. Parcel 12 is zoned Resource Conservation Area, suburban residential, so SRRCA, and suburban residential. Portions of the properties are within the critical area, and the critical area designation for them is RCA, Resource Conservation Area, which does allow solar development. The solar development cannot impact the shoreline development buffer, which for a portion of this site is expanded for steep slopes. So we're confident that as proposed, the project complies with the critical area regulations and requirements. There's further dialogue with the county and with critical area commission that will happen as this project moves closer to development, and we'll make sure that it complies with all the critical area regulations. As Mr. Sanchez said, this is a community solar project. It is ground-mounted solar that is a single-axis tracking system. So the system starts facing to the east when the sun rises and moves across the sky. The panels slowly rotate throughout the day to maximize exposure to the sun, and therefore how much electricity the project can generate. And then overnight time, the panels slowly rotate back to face east. This is similar to my knowledge, all of the other projects, with the exception perhaps of Bucktown next to the airport, which I was in no way involved with. All of them use this tracking technology in the county. The project will comply with Forest Conservation Act requirements. There will be a Forest Conservation Plan submitted to the county and approved by staff. The project, because it's under 2 megawatts, does not require a CPCN approval, so this doesn't go through the state process to get the state permit like the larger utility scale projects do that are over 2 megawatts. I would like to, at this point, present another exhibit. This would be applicant's exhibit 1, I believe. Or we can call this 2.
Let's call it 2, because the letter was warm.
The letter might not have been in the record.
It wasn't.
Thank you.
So this is a current aerial of the property. This shows the existing conditions of the project site. And what you'll see is there's an area on the northern part of the page. This is the area where the project is proposed to be developed in this greener area in the field. The rest of the fields are owned by the same property owner. And one thing that I want to highlight here is there's existing vegetation around the west, north, and east sides of the project site. There is an elementary school to the southwest, which is about, I'll get you the exact number, but I think it's about 1,800 feet. So a significant distance, 6 football fields, from the project site. That is already screened by existing mature forests. So there won't be any views from the southwest. From the roadway, I would like to submit applicant's exhibit number 3. So this is a 3-sheet exhibit that shows on the first page an overall plan view of the site on the left side of the sheet. That shows the panels, their location, the location of the screening buffer. The middle of the sheet has an actual photograph from the roadway of the property facing towards the site without showing any improvements. I'm going to get a little bit further into the details of what's proposed for the material in the landscaping buffer in a couple of minutes, but I want to just show you on sheet 2, this is the actual photograph taken from the roadway without any zoom. And what this shows is in the background there, near the tree line, the actual project has been placed onto the page. So what you're looking at here is the actual panels as they will exist with the landscaping at its heights at installation. And what you'll see on sheet 2 is the project is barely visible at installation from the roadway. I wanted to show you on sheet 3 that there was actually something on the page. This is a 4 or 5x zoom from the roadway and just shows again the different varieties in landscaping material that will be proposed, and I'll get to that in a moment. But also you can see in some areas between the vegetation, you can see the project, the panels themselves behind the screening buffer. Go back to the site plan that I handed out, and I believe you have a copy of it. If you would go to sheet C200, which I believe is the 4th sheet. So this sheet shows the project and the property overall at installation when the property is improved. You can see that the project itself is located on the northernmost portion of that eastern parcel. You'll also note the 75-foot wide landscape buffer that's on the southern side of the project. We wanted to contain the entirety of the project in the on the eastern parcel, on parcel 104. And as proposed, the landscaping buffer includes coniferous trees, deciduous trees, shrubs. All of the trees that will be installed at 8-foot heights, which is important. It exceeds the current code, but it's a request that you all and the Planning Commission have made in the past to ensure that at installation the landscaping material is as tall as possible and screens the project as much as possible. Regarding setbacks, the closest residence to the northwest is about 2,300 feet linear away. The closest residence to the south-southeast, which is the residence that abuts the property that you asked about, Mr. Spicer, mm-hmm. is about 1,800 feet. The Cabin Creek Yacht Service, which is what it shows up on online, is the building to the west, the southwest of the property. That's about 1,600 feet, and the elementary school is about 1,650 feet from the project boundary. As I said, the site is already screened to the west, the north, and the east. The project will comply with the bonding requirements of the county, so the landscaping material will be bonded and there will be a decommissioning bond on file with the county. If there's ever a problem with the project, which is extraordinarily unlikely, and it has to be decommissioned, the county will hold a bond to ensure that if the developer is gone, which again is extraordinarily unlikely, the county can call the bonding company or the letter of credit and decommission the project. That bond is revisited every 5 years. So as the project life continues, the cost of decommissioning may go up or it may go down. One reality is that you offset the cost of the actual work with the resale value of the electrical equipment. And when the project begins, the resale value is at its highest. And as the project life continues, the older it gets, the less valuable it is. So you don't have that value in the equipment. So as a result of that, we revisit the bonds every 5 years, which is a requirement of, to my knowledge, all of the projects, except for maybe the first one or two that were developed in the county. The surety will cover the complete removal of the project, and at the end of the project's life, the property will be returned to its existing state. The properties are adjacent to the Town of Secretary boundary. There are no improvements as a result of that. There are no improvements proposed on parcel 12, which is the western parcel. Parcel 12 is identified as growth area 2 in the town's comprehensive plan. So there are some properties on the southern side of the road across from the subject property that are growth area 1. The town's comprehensive plan calls for those to be annexed first, which hasn't happened yet, and to my knowledge, there's no current proposal to annex those. But those are annexed first and developed, and then growth area 2, which is parcel 12, which is the western parcel of the subject site, will be annexed. That has to go through growth allocation, it's called, which is a redesignation from the current RCA critical area designation to either LDA or IDA. And then the parcel that the project will be located on can be annexed pursuant to the town's comprehensive plan. So I think we're talking about a significant amount of time down the road. It was important to the property owner that the majority of this property that is viable for agriculture remain in agriculture. So there's a center pivot irrigation arm on the property, and what is served by that center pivot arm will remain in tilled agriculture. The project site is not terrific for agriculture. I think if you went out there, the corn is 2.5 feet tall, which a lot of farmers are dealing with this year, unfortunately. But it is the least productive part of this parcel, which is why it was chosen, which is one of the reasons it was chosen. You all, I know, are aware that there's been a lot of discussion over the last couple of years about solar in Dorchester County, and there was legislation proposed to the county council that included a number of restrictions and requirements. And knowing that the county wanted to adopt further restrictions and regulations on solar, we looked at that, this project team looked at that draft and designed this project to be consistent with the latest draft that was proposed. That hasn't been adopted by the council yet. We recognize that, and it may change between now and whenever it's adopted. It was pretty, I will call it onerous relative to other counties, but as proposed, this project complies with all of the requirements. The project is under the previously proposed acreage cap. It's more than 100 feet from property lines. It's more than 500 feet from any dwelling. It proposes, instead of a 50-foot buffer, a 75-foot wide landscaping buffer planted at 8 feet, planted with a mix of evergreens and deciduous trees. The majority of the buffer is made up of native species of vegetation. Sureties will be provided, as I already discussed. Screening will be planted prior to operation of the facility, and the fencing originally included barbed wire. The draft of the legislation forbid barbed wire, so we pivoted and eliminated the 1 foot of barbed wire. What's proposed now is 7 feet of chain link fence to surround and protect the project. So again, what's proposed exceeds significantly the current regulations for solar. It is well screened. It's situated significant distances from surrounding residences and roadways. Mr. Sanchez went through a couple of the numbers, and I've presented a number of projects to this board and have not brought, I've brought a lot of numbers, but I've never brought these specific numbers. And when I got them, I wanted to share them with you because I think that it's important to, in all of the discussion about solar and the perceived detrimental impacts, recognize that there is a significant financial impact to the county and its residents. Currently, and I did the math on this, but the property is valued, assessed at just over $11,000, which is about $129 a year in real estate taxes. Following approval and development of the project, the real estate tax in year one is estimated to be about $7,500. The real estate taxes paid to the county over the life of the project are estimated to be about $260,000. So it's a significant difference than what's there because of this project. Personal property taxes over the life of the project are estimated to be about $1.2 million. There are no personal property taxes that are paid because it's just an agricultural vacant parcel right now. That's an average of about $30,000 a year paid. And the conservative estimate that Mr. Sanchez gave was at a 5% savings. Every project's different, the economics of every project are different, and where the developer can offer the subscriber on a guaranteed savings differs from project to project. But what was read to you earlier was based on a 5% savings, which is a really conservative number. Sometimes they're 5.5, sometimes they're 7.5. It just varies depending on the project. But that was a $45,000 savings spread between about 290 homes of subscribers. That's $2.75 million over the life of the project. And that's to households and small businesses that just sign up to subscribe to the project. All you do is sign a contract and your bills go down. $2,750,000 over the life of the project. That's about $9,500 per household over the life of the project, which is, I think, significant for anywhere that these are developed. It is important to note that any Delmarva Power customer can subscribe to this, but the marketing and advertising effort, I'm sure you've all gotten mailings from solar companies, the marketing effort starts locally. So people that are here in Dorchester County and in Secretary and in the area that are Delmarva Power customers will be able to subscribe. It was a mouthful, but what was read in the beginning was this is a request for four different approvals. One is for the special exception for development of the project. The second is a variance to permit up to 7 foot tall fencing. Currently, 6 foot tall fencing is permitted on the property. Electrical code and industry standard requires that the fencing around the project be at least 7 feet. So we're requesting a variance of 1 foot to allow fencing up to 7 feet. The unique one, unique to me, I think this is the first time, is we're requesting because the property is split zoned, special exception approval to allow the regulations applicable to the AC district to be extended 100 feet into the SR district. The code does allow for that. And the reason that we're requesting that is so that we can add the 75-foot buffer and still maximize input from what's proposed for the project. There is no solar equipment that is proposed within that 100 feet. So it'll just be the 75-foot buffer. That is a separate special exception, however. And then the fourth request is approval of a variance to permit project equipment no closer than 15 feet from the internal boundary. This is important for two reasons. When the electrical engineers design these projects, they have to be designed in blocks. You can't just put one panel somewhere and have it function properly. The maximizing the area on the property outside of the SR district requires the area that we've proposed, which goes 5 feet into the 20-foot setback. It's also important because the previous regulations, or the regulations that were last drafted, required 100-foot setbacks from property boundaries. It didn't carve out internal property boundaries from that. So if those regulations are passed, my concern is I don't want to get an approval from the board tonight and work through site plan with the Planning Commission and move towards building permitting, and then have legislation passed that conflicts with the project and run into a problem and have to go back through the process all over again. The 100-foot setback from property lines, if that legislation is passed, we're compliant with on all around the border of the entire property, but we're not compliant with that on the shared property boundary between the two parcels. If that's passed and we have a variance that says this project equipment can be located no closer than 15 feet, we're good as proposed. And so that's the second reason that we're requesting that. I hope council agrees with that. But, with that, we submitted a narrative and an application. I'm happy to go through each one of the special exception and variance criteria for all four of these if you have a couple hours. Otherwise, I'd like to rely on what we submitted and just answer any questions or concerns that you have.
Okay. Thank you. Sure. Questions from the board?
I guess I'm just curious, is there any requirement for security, or is the fence enough? That's enough? Okay. No.
I'll make one comment. I've sat here and seen quite a few of these projects come before us. To my way of thinking, this is one of the best thought out that I've seen.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No.
Any agency comments here? Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak for or against this project? You have anything else that you wanted to add? Okay.
Yes, sir.
This is just too easy. That concludes the taking of evidence. Patrick, I guess it's your turn.
Okay.
I got it right this time.
Okay, so we need to go through each of these in turn. So let's start with the special exception for the system itself. The proposed use will be consistent with the county's comprehensive plan.
Will.
Yes, will.
The proposed use will be in harmony with the general character of the neighborhood, considering population density, design, scale, and bulk of any proposed new structures, intensity and character of activity, traffic and parking conditions, and number of similar uses.
Will.
The proposed use will not be detrimental to the use, peaceful enjoyment, economic value, or development of surrounding properties in the surrounding neighborhood.
Will not.
The proposed use will not cause objectionable noise, vibration, fumes, odors, dust, glare, or physical activity.
Will not.
proposed use will not have a detrimental effect on vehicular or pedestrian traffic?
Will not.
Will not.
The proposed use will not adversely affect the health, safety, security, or general welfare of residents, workers, or visitors in the area?
Will not.
Will not.
The proposed use will not, in conjunction with existing development in the area and development permitted under existing zoning, overburden existing public facilities and services, including schools, police and fire protection, medical facilities, water, sanitary sewer, public roads, storm sewers, range, and other public improvements?
Will not.
Will not.
And the proposed use meets the definition and specific standards set forth in the zoning ordinance for the proposed use?
Does.
Yes.
Rather than granting the motion, each motion to approve, why don't we go through all the criteria, and then when you get to the end,
good idea.
You can just grant the motion to all four of them.
Yep.
This is sort of a while.
Yeah.
Videos. So next, we'll turn to the special exception for the extension of the district regulations for the ACRCA district, not to exceed 100 feet beyond the district line into the remaining portion of the parcel. The proposed use will be consistent with the county's comprehensive plan.
Will.
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 The proposed use will be in harmony with the general character of the neighborhood, considering population density, design, scale, and bulk of any proposed new structures, intensity and character of activity, traffic and parking conditions, and number of similar uses.
Will.
Will. Will.
The proposed use will not be detrimental to the use, peaceful enjoyment, economic value, or development of surrounding properties or the surrounding neighborhood.
Will not.
Will not.
The proposed use will not cause objectionable noise, vibration, fumes, odors, dust, glare, physical activity.
Will not.
Will not.
The proposed use will not have a detrimental effect on vehicular or pedestrian traffic.
Will not.
Will not.
The proposed use will not adversely affect the health, safety, security, or general welfare of residents, workers, or visitors in the area.
Will not.
Will not.
The proposed use will not overburden existing public services and facilities, including schools, police, and fire protection, medical facilities, water, sanitary sewer, public roads, storm sewers, drainage, or other public improvements.
Will not.
Will not.
Not.
The proposed use meets the definition and specific standards set forth in the zoning code for such use.
Does.
Does.
Okay. I'll move to the variance for the to permit construction of an up to 7 foot tall security fencing around the project. The variance will be would not be contrary to the public interest.
Will not.
Will not.
Special conditions and circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land structure or building involved.
Or
can you address?
Because of the boundary between the two parcels being owned by one person, should not be a problem.
A literal provision, literal interpretation of the provisions of the zoning code would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same district.
Would.
Would, yes.
Special conditions or circumstances did not result from the applicant's actions?
Did not.
Did not.
And granting the variance request, it would not confer upon the applicant any special privilege that is denied by the zoning code to other lands, structures, or buildings in the same district?
Would not.
And lastly, we have the variance to permit project components within the setbacks internal to the project site as requested. Variance requested would not be contrary to the public interest.
Would not.
Would not.
Special conditions and circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land structure or building involved.
They are, again, for the same reason I quoted a while ago.
A literal interpretation of the provisions of the zoning code would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same district under the zoning code.
Would.
Well.
The special conditions or circumstances did not result from the applicant's actions.
Did not.
Did not.
Granting the variance request, it would not confer upon the applicant any special privilege that is denied by the zoning code to other land, structures, or buildings in the same district.
Will not.
Okay.
Okay. Do I hear a motion regarding this case on the two special exceptions and the two variances?
I'll make a motion for approval.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Let me go get rid of the table presentation.
It's been a little bit.
Been a while.
Couple months anyway.
I prefer that.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh. Do you want me to make a motion to close?
Yeah, we don't have anything to sign or anything like that, do we?
No, I'll make a motion to close.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you.